The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne N. Weathers with my co-host, Reverend Robert Johnson. Bishop Dr. Kevin Akins wasn't able to be on today. He had something in his schedule, but he sends his greetings. But we have an announcement. Welcome to our new co-host, Minister Ebony Robinson. Let's give a hand clap of praise for Minister Ebony Robinson. Amen. How you doing, Minister Ebony? Oh, you're on mute. Minister Ebony. Can y'all hear me? Oh, wait a minute. Can you hear me?
I can hear.
Oh, Minister Ebony, we trying to get you to come off mute to speak. I don't know if she can hear. Can you hear? Okay. Come off mute, say hello, wave. I don't know if she can hear us right now. Pastor Johnson, how you doing, man? Thank you.
I'm doing well. 2-0, baby, 2-0.
Yeah, I wish we could say the same, but I can't. But thank you for beating the Cowboys.
We didn't beat the Cowboys.
Minnesota Vikings did.
When?
Y'all beat the Cowboys last Sunday.
No, we played.
You're right. I'm sorry, New Orleans Saints. Forget you. I forget you. I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say that. Next, moving on. I got the wrong team.
You got the wrong team. You've been following the wrong team for a while.
Amen. Yeah. Maybe your team don't matter. So maybe that's why I just mixed it up. Anyway, how you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Minister Ebony, are you able to just to say hello? If not, we're going to move on and everything. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about today, really a lot to talk about today. And as we get ready to have this conversation today, because our subject is going to be the unjust treatment of Haitian immigrants, I really want to start off with a biblical scripture that will really set the tone for today's subject. All right? It will set the tone for today's subject. So, starting with New Testament book of James, chapter 3, verses 5 and following says, "So the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how small fires can spread to a large forest." Let me repeat that again. See how a small fire can spread to a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defiles the whole body and sets the fire of course of nature and is set on fire by Gehenna. Gehenna is a name that describes a burning hell with rotting bodies and unclean things in it. Again, the word of God says, see how small fires can spread to a large forest all because of a tongue. You got me? See how a small fire can spread to a large forest. Why is that being read? Because during the presidential debate a few weeks ago on September the 10th, there was a statement that was made, and it's still being perpetuated by vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance. Former President Donald Trump basically came across some unfounding and unmitigated and unfactual statements about Haitian immigrants living in Springfield, Ohio. He goes on to say the following: that I know some parents, like for a period of time, they're trying to keep their children home. By the time they see how things are going, et cetera. Oh, I'm sorry, I misread. All of this is a result of former President Donald Trump making a statement that Haitian immigrants are eating cats, eating dogs in a town that's 58,000 residents. That statement that was made in the book of James, that a tongue is a little member and boast of great things, and see that how a small fire can spread to a large forest just because of the tongue. Because of those statements in a town more than 58,000 residents, threats of bombing and shootings led to the closure of city buildings and schools for several days. Wittenberg University canceled all activities on Sunday and classes on Friday as precarious measures. A member of the Haitian Community Help and Support Center stated that continual spread of false and divisive statements from prominent politicians were fostering an environment of fear. The Word of God said, so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a small fire can spread to a large forest. Pastor Johnson, talk to me. Talk to me. What's your thoughts about this whole unjust treatment of Haitian immigrants?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to understand is that in this arena of politics, and first of all, there's nothing new. There's nothing new in doing this. This has been done to throw a red herring in a bunch of things. If we go back through our history here as in America, there have always been issues where we will deflect the real, if you will, problems or issues, and try to blame it on the otherism of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just look at what he said. What he said was that they're eating cats and dogs. That the Haitians are eating cats and dogs. And let me be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. This has everything also to do with the fact that he is now trying to make immigrants, others, the fall guys and women, fall men and women, if you will, for all the ills that America has. Because he has nothing else to stand upon. And when he has nothing else to stand upon, he spreads the lies, and those who are weak-minded or feeble-minded enough to go with the lies are the very people who are dangerous in our society. We've seen it in our own communities when they have spread misinformation,
mm-hmm.
and have gotten people hurt and killed. We know Donald Trump has done it with the Central Park Five.
That's right.
We've noted he's done it on various occasions. And what is happening is this is a divisive, desperate technique that he's using because he can not find another way to coalesce his base other than fear and lies.
Mm-hmm. This is crazy. You know, when I was watching the debate, right, and I put on my Facebook page, I learned something in the debate that I didn't know. I heard the former president say that people were committing abortion after they gave birth. So I was like, oh, wow, I just learned something scientific. I didn't even know you can have an abortion after you give birth. But that's a whole nother subject. When I heard him talk about, you know, folks were, you know, he didn't name the particular ethnicity at the time, but he was like, they're eating cats and they're eating dogs, et cetera. The first thing I said to my wife when I was watching the debate is, I said, what ethnicity is he trying to demonize in this social location? That was the first thing. And I started doing research, like, what's the black white population? Because I didn't know for a fact at that time, my theory was he's trying to hit people of color. I knew that just straight off the bat, that he was trying to hit people of color. It goes deeper than just, you know, when I say deeper, I'm in agreement with you 100%. It goes deeper than Haitian immigrants eating dogs and eating cats, et cetera. It's a historical statement of racism that's embedded in this country about people of color. Because Carter G. Woodson, if I'm quoting the book that's correct, The Negro in America, he states in chapter one or chapter two, that when Africans were brought here to America, the settlers who brought them, in bondage, in slavery. They viewed Africans as people who didn't have a soul, savages, beast, etc. Every derogative, negative stereotype against those that was taken from freedom, where they had liberation to oppression and captivity in the cradle of civilization in the continent of Africa, was demonized as beasts and savages. So when you say that Haitian immigrants, right, they're eating dogs and eating cats, etc., you're feeding into a racial stereotype that demonizes people of color, especially when you get your information, one, from neo-Nazis, right, which is a racist, terroristic, homegrown organization within the United States of America, because it has been reported that he got some of his information from neo-Nazis. There's somebody on his campaign he got it from, and the woman who started the rumor now regrets it. That is blown up to an all-time lie right now, and a lie hurts because that lie is what got Emmett Till killed, right? Because a woman lied and said that Emmett Till whistled at her, and then we find out decades later that he never did it, and he lost his life as a teenager. You follow me? And so we hear these vitriolic lies, and people run with it, but nobody calls to the carpet and hold this man that's trying to run to become the president of the United States of America again for his racist language that inflames, divides, and get people hurt, possibly killed. No one is talking about the fact that schools got to shut down because this person lied about those who God made. Let me get the right term that we learned in seminary. Amigio Dei, made in the image of God, right? Individuals made in the image of God. You give a westernized racist stereotype against people of color, Haitians, that are savages and beasts, and you can tell about their savage nature and their beastly habits because they're eating dogs, they're eating cats, etc. And you got a segment of society that's listening to this garbage as this tongue, which is a small fire setting a flame to a large forest. They're listening to these lies and think it's gospel truth.
Well, I think part of the problem is, and it is in this, is in this election. If you look at the matrix of identity politics, if you look at the matrix of everything that the Trump campaign is doing, the first thing that you got to say is that they're really dividing the country between us and them. Now, from the comment of black jobs, the comment of they're coming and they're taking the immigrants. It's always the others. My African American brothers and sisters, you have to listen to this. We are still the others. We are still the others. We are still, you know, he's building this thing where he's saying, you know, the immigrants are coming, they're taking our job. The immigrants are coming, they're eating cats and dogs. Look at the problem with our southern border. Look at this. Look at them overrunning. Look at them taking your health care. Look at them taking. And what he's doing is he's not talking to us as African Americans. He's talking to his base. And when he talks to his base that way, what happens is his base begins to believe him because they need something to believe in. Because when they look at the state of America right now, and the diversity of America, see, that's what's scary for people who don't understand diversity. Diversity is something not to be feared, but diversity is something that needs to be embraced. And when those people who believe that they come from a point of privilege, they can't embrace diversity because they look at it as a subtraction, not an addition to the way of life of America. And so as he does this with Haitians, as he does this with people who are escaping horrific conditions in other countries, trying to come to the what we call the American dream here because they think it's going to be better. We're somehow, not we, but he is somehow vilifying them for wanting a better way of life. Wow. And that is what's sad. And now he's using them as election pawns.
mm-hmm.
to get his base riled up and to try to win an election because he can't win on facts and policies.
So let's do this. Let's take a 30-second station break and conversation and plug on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Let's go on a 30-second station break at this time.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to attain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
Hey, welcome back to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. So I am a political consultant doing outreach, consulting, galvanizing churches of color to turn out voters sold to the polls throughout the state of Pennsylvania. I will go into detail more about that after the election because there's a lot to say, but not to be said now. I'm also doing some consulting with, been brought on by Reverend Dr. Mark Tyler. Congratulations on his position with Power Interfaith, bringing congregations together in a Power Initiative, then sold food dinners and everything. And we'll talk about that at another time. And so, and also preparing to teach both at Lancaster Bible College as well as Palmer Theological Seminary in October. So, as well as pastoring Vision of Hope Baptist Church with Minister Ebony Robinson is our outreach minister there. So schedule was quite busy during this season. It's so busy sometimes, Pastor Johnson, I don't even know. I'm too busy to inhale and exhale. You know, too busy to inhale and exhale. Ebony, can you come off your mic so we can get an introduction of you? Amen. Hey.
Hello.
Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am associate minister under our own Pastor Dr. Wayne Weathers at Vision of Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to be biased and say that's the best church out there. But we're located in Jenkintown, PA. I am also an advocate for special needs. Mm-hmm. I am a bestseller author. I'm a mentor. I'm a life coach. And the list can go on and on and on.
Yeah. She was having problems, Johnson, because she has an iPhone, and we have this battle Android iPhone. So her son, our junior deacon Elias, is always, she's polluting my junior deacon. He's always yelling at me, Pastor, get an iPhone. Indeed. So, indeed. Yeah. So we want to thank you as an addition. For those who don't know, what she didn't mention is that she's also our social media manager as well with Minister Dwight Akins. And so she pumps out the shows in various locations, and we've been getting a lot of plays and a lot of attention and a lot of draws. So we just want to introduce you to our newest show host, co-host, Minister Ebony Robinson. Your thoughts, Minister Ebony Robinson, just your thoughts about this whole particular situation. What unnerves you about this? What troubles your spirit about this?
Well, I have to agree with both of you, what both of you have said so far. What is interesting is how things turn into a fire based off a lie.
Mm-hmm.
A lie. And he knew who to target. He knew what to say because he was going to get a great response. And I think what's also interesting is the person that started the lie is now trying to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. Once you cause a lie, put a lie out there, you cause harm and danger. You can't take it back.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows exactly what he's doing, and he doesn't have much anything else to use. So why not start this with a lie?
So you just said something. It reminds me of what I said to your mentor, Reverend Benita Weathers, who's also associate minister at our church. Less than, I say, 2 hours after we got married. Literally, I said this less than 2 hours after we got married. I said, this is what I'll do in our marriage, and this is what I will not do. I'm going somewhere. This is serious. I said, I will love you unconditionally. I said, that's what I will do in this marriage. I says, but what I will not do, I said, I will not disrespect you or say anything out of this mouth that would disrespect you. I said, because if I lose money, I can get it back. But if I say something disrespectful out of this mouth, once the words go out of this mouth, I can't get it back. And that's why I bring it up, because you said something, Minister Ebony, that's so critical. When those words go out of your mouth, you can't get it back. And for those that see me, if I'm looking down, I'm looking at my Bible on my phone. I want to go back to that scripture, which is so, I would say, apropos and critical, because the word of God says, oh, I'm great, go somewhere else. And, you know, Johnson, since we've been doing this, I don't think I got this biblically deep in a long time. Not saying that I'm not biblically deep, but I haven't gotten this biblical deep in a long time. It says, so the tongue is a little fire, it's a little member and boasts of great things. See how a small fire can spread to a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defiles the whole body. That lie has defiled, right? It didn't defile Haitians because it's not true. You follow me? It's not true, but it's defiling the followers of him because they're believing this mess. And now look at how this defilement of freedom against Haitians is taking place, because now they have to fear their safety over a lie. I'm going to step back. I'm going to turn the mic back over to you, Pastor Johnson. Here's why we unplug this conversation, because it's not being hit in a manner that brings deeper revelation and people realize. What the former president is saying, basically, if you let these dark-skinned immigrants eat cats and dogs and let them get away with it, what do you think our country is going to be like if you allow this woman of color to become the next president of the United States of America? What he's basically saying is the unspoken, you're going to have more black and brown people eating cats, eating dogs. You're going to have more savages in our community. That's why we have to take back our country and make it great again, because we can't let savages run this country. What's your thoughts about that, Pastor Johnson and Minister Ebony?
He didn't intimate it. He already said it. He already said in one of his speeches that if Kamala Harris gets elected, that we will become a third world country. He said that already. That came out of his mouth. And I think that the thing is that as he begins to spout this rhetoric, dangerous rhetoric.
Yes.
Where you have the governor of the state of Ohio saying this is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have most of the people who are of Haitian descent and immigrants there are legally working.
Mm-hmm.
And when we begin to fact check what he said, as Minister Ebony said, the woman who started it now wants to back off of it, because guess what? It was used in such a way that now her name, the stench is on her, and she's going to face ramifications that Donald Trump will never face.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's put these people in danger, he's backing off a little bit and saying, well, that's what I was told. That's what was reported. You reported as a fact that this was something that you knew. And that little organ called the tongue put it out there in the world wide web.
Yep.
Have people now looking at people of not just Haitian descent now. We got people looking at people of Asian descent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we got people looking at people of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, well, listen, because we don't understand culture in right. America, we will believe rhetoric rather than understanding culture.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need, what this moment is in time is, if America wants to take it, is an opportunity for us to get to know our brothers and sisters of different places and different different ethnicities and have dialogue mm-hmm. rather than fear. But see, as long That's as right. I can sow fear, I can get your vote, because it's the otherism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what he's trying to do is, remember, you know, one of my fraternity brothers is in the Air Force.
Okay.
And he tells me that in the Air Force, if somebody's shooting a missile at his plane, he has what you call these countermeasures on his plane.
Gotcha.
He can push a button, these countermeasures come and they confuse the missile. And so the missile can't hit the plane, they'll hit the countermeasures first. It's confused. Mm-hmm. What Donald Trump is doing is countermeasures. He doesn't want to deal with the facts. He doesn't want to deal with policies. But what he wants to do is he wants to distract us,
mm-hmm.
and have us not hit the target of voting, but he wants us to vote for him out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the tongue is doing. Everything that he says out of his mouth is calculated to stop us from being, to distract us from dealing with what the real issue is in this election.
So Proverbs chapter 6, and I remember this particular scripture in the early 90s because when I was attending the Shiloh Baptist Church in Edgemere, Maryland, I can still remember this sermon. My pastor, Bishop Heber M. Brown, did a sermon series entitled What the Lord Hates. And he went to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, and it was a long sermon series, and he preached each week. He took one of those things God hates, and he preached on it. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And so I go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, and he says the following. God says, and written in his word, says the following. There are six things that Yahweh hates. Seven, which are an abomination to him. A haughty eye, a lying tongue. Can I stop right there? A lying tongue. We went from James, right, to talk about the danger of a tongue. And then we go to Proverbs, went from the New Testament to the Old Testament. We go to the Old Testament, and now we see what God hates. God hates a lying tongue. Reason why I start off with this, and then I'm going to ask Minister Ebony to hit us with some comments, and then we're going to go on a station break. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, Republican, told PBS News that the former president and Senator J.D. Vance baseless claims about Haitian migrants need to stop. This is a Republican governor that says that these claims are baseless and it needs to stop. What's your thoughts about that, Minister Ebony?
Sure. So, Pastor, I'm looking at James
3:8. Uh-huh.
But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison.
Mm-hmm.
She might have took the post down, but the poison remains. The poison is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And all it's doing now is causing distraction and trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going away. It's only rising up.
Let's unpack that just a little bit further. Why don't you expound on that just a little bit more? Poison isn't a gourmet drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a mocha. What's that type of coffee for somebody? Oh, he talking about alcohol. You know what I'm getting at, right? Yeah, caramel latte. Yeah. Because somebody be like, oh, where is Pastor going with that? Right? It's not a gourmet coffee. Once poison gets into your system, what does poison do? Talk to me about that, Minister Ebony. Once poison gets in your system, what does it do?
So I use an example that took place to me last week. I had food poison.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That made me be rushed to the hospital and 911 on ambulance. The poison had to come out, but while it was inside of me, it was causing harm.
Mm-hmm.
So by this lie being out and circulating and it's causing trauma, people can't go to work. People's schools are being closed. It's causing people to become fearful. Mm-hmm. They're scared to go out their house. They're scared for their lives based off of something that is untrue that turned into a poison to cause confusion, to cause even death. But if we just stick on this one thing, although they're saying it's not true, the poison already out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing? Let me just say that quick. Everybody listen to this. Back in COVID,
mm-hmm.
who did he blame the COVID-19 virus on?
Mm-hmm. Was it Asians?
Yes. What did he Asian. Call it? Hong Kong flu? What did he yes. call it?
Mm-hmm.
And what did that cause in our communities? Attacks on Asians,
Right.
Right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
People who have lived peacefully next to people all this time were now being blamed for a pandemic. And all because this man decided to tell a lie.
And can I add to that? And then, and let me add to that, and we go to a station break, and then we'll come back, right? So I'm glad you brought that up. This is juxtaposed, and this is add to and not taking away what you're saying. And so you make these claims, right? And you tell a lie, and then people get impacted by the lie, because correct me if I'm wrong, in Atlanta, Georgia, after he called it the Hong Kong flu, I think it was placed at the pedicure, manicure place. I think it was shot up or something like that.
Yes,
right,
yes.
Right. And so if you tell a lie, the people you lie on, right, get attacked. And then if you correct him by telling the truth, then your life is threatened. You follow me? Then your life is threatened.
Yeah.
Because I'm hearing those who corrected him on ABC, their life is threatened. When you go against him, your life is threatened. When you stand against his lies and his racism, your life is threatened. Who in the heck wants a president who threatens people that I'm going to jail those who are against me? And then if you speak out against him, then your life is threatened. Let's go on a station break, 30-second station break, Conversation Unplugged, where we tell truth here. We don't tell lies, right? On Conversation Unplugged, on WWN, we tell truth that Androids is the best thing in the world. Oh, no, let's go on a 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
Hey, we're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. We do have a very special and blessed announcement to make. On October the 4th or October the 5th, we're going to start our podcast series. We're supposed to start it this week, but I'm going to push it back to between October 4th and October the 5th. I definitely want you to check it out. My classmate from Virginia State University, Eddie Good, has a book called Audacity, and he's the first person that we interviewed, and we're setting up the other interviews and things of that nature. It's going to be a great podcast series. I don't want to announce the series yet, because sometimes when I announce it too early, some people run with it and try to use it as their own. So I just want to be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove, and I don't want my creativity to become somebody else's creativity. Amen. Let me hear the church shout amen. Let's back. Minister Ebony, I want to throw this out there. This was not part of the research and everything. I want to get your thoughts. I want to get Pastor Johnson's thoughts. So let me take a deep pause, and I'm going to go into this deep question. So there's lies being told about Haitian immigrants eating dogs, eating cats. Their lives is being threatened. But yet, help me out here. I haven't heard anything from evangelicals, who are the main ones, that says that a fetus has a right to life. But if that fetus has a right to life who happens to be Haitian and is being lied on by a presidential candidate that you support, that they are not savages, that they are amigia dei, which is made in the image of God, why is it that you're silent in the midst of a lie that threatens the life of those that you advocated to be born? What is your thoughts about the silence of evangelicals, Minister Ebony?
I think about the scenario that when a snake come and cause division, what happens when a division come? He goes hides until everything settles down.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because with sparting out, like a spark has now become a whole forest fire.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
that goes to the next question. So we talked about the silence of evangelicals, Pastor Johnson, the silence of the church, black denominations, black organizations. Am I wrong in saying that there isn't a trumpet being blown, a piccolo being played? Matter of fact, I don't even hear a kazoo.
I think sometimes we don't need to say anything. We just need to do everything. You know, a lot of people talk in this election. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are doing a lot of talking, but I'm waiting for the people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what happens is you can talk a lot and don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, as my grandmother used to say, I can show you better than I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as Mr. Ebony said, they're not going to say anything because it is now unpopular for them to back this man.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that they did when he got elected was that they came out in droves and then found out that when they got near him, they found out that they saw the horns and the tail.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is not popular to side with him publicly, no matter what they do privately, but they can't come out publicly because everything about him is unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, sometimes your best friend can be unhinged and you have to be separate from them. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, be ye therefore separate and come from among them.
Mm-hmm.
They have not yet understood how to come from among Donald Trump, but their people have.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelicals that I know have said to me personally that they can no longer support Donald Trump and his policies because they are ungodly. I think the first thing that we have to deal with is the fact that he's selling the Bible.
Hmm. Hmm.
That he's selling the Bible with the Constitution in it. And the Constitution mm-hmm. has nothing to do with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that those once, look at the evangelical leaders that were with him,
mm-hmm.
who are no longer with him.
Mm-hmm.
Are no longer taking the stage with him
mm-hmm.
because they have too much to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you got too much to lose, you step back because you don't want the first thing them to hit is your pocketbook.
That's right. That's right.
And for the churches, it's a pocketbook issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got some misguided folk out there who are going to do it, but I got news for you. The vast majority of pastors are stepping away from Donald Trump because it becomes a pocketbook and faith issue.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're going to stand with Trump or you're going to stand with Jesus. And you've been telling your people for years, Jesus is the best thing going. Trump is not.
Mm-hmm.
So as Minister Ebony said, they're not going to say nothing. They're not going to say anything. And the black church, you know, fortunately, the black church, we're not going to say too much of anything because I got news for you. The key for us is that we are sympathetic to the cause, but we don't know how to fight the cause. In this particular vein,
mm-hmm.
So it's a tough thing to fight because we didn't fight too much for the Asians when during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
in my estimation, some mm-hmm. did, some didn't. But who's our leaders? Who's the leaders of the African American church community? That's the real question.
My follow up. I want to read some. There's a lot of comments I missed on Facebook. I will follow up and say at this point we're the leaders now. Because those who are in the spotlight to be our leaders don't have the freedom to fully express themselves based on who's paying them to be in the spotlight. And that's a whole nother subject to talk about. And I'm not being sarcastic, I'm being real. William D. Weather says, in Genesis, it's recorded that the serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. He convinced Eve to mistrust Jehovah, who made them in flesh and blood, but just like the kingdom of God. Trump is a chip of the block of Satan. I stand with Jehovah against Trump and his supporters. I'm ready to die standing with Jehovah than to live in the riches of Trump and Satan. Wow. Well, fraternity brother William Brady has been giving some positive compliments, real talk, wow, et cetera. Then Deacon Derek Robinson, the husband of Minister Ebony Robinson, says something about poison. He says, the funny thing about poison is, while it is dangerous, check this out, it's powerless until ingested, or in the case, paid attention to. So poison is powerless if you don't pay attention to it, or if you don't ingest it. And what we're witnessing now is that people are choosing to ingest the lie as its truth instead of debunking it. So let's go up. This is it troubles me that how many times has former President Donald Trump said absurd stuff out of his mouth and people are harmed by the absurdity and the lies? You said something earlier, Pastor Johnson, the exonerated five, right? And even during the debate, he could not even come to terms to say that the exonerated five is innocent. For those who don't know, back in the late 80s, to be exact, four African-American teenagers and one Latino teenager was falsely accused of raping and almost killing a high-powered Caucasian female in Central Park. They was coerced to testify, who they was coerced by police officers to say that they did it when they didn't do it. And then Donald Trump paid $100,000 and put it in the Wall Street Journal, wanting the death penalty and basically wanted these five individuals executed. Yusuf Salam and others said that basically he put a mark on them when they went into the courtroom. Praise God for Yusuf Salam. He's a person who practices Islam, but now he went from being a Central Park Five or exonerated five to now being a council member, elected city official in New York. So we got to give kudos and credit there. He takes his mouth, or he takes words from his mouth, the tongue that sets a forest on fire and blazes the whole trail. Without us realizing, Donald Trump is nothing but a conflict entrepreneur. And that's a term that I learned from my brother in Christ, Brian Foreman, with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. As a full disclaimer, he never said Trump or anyone is a conflict entrepreneur, but we were having a session and he said conflict entrepreneurs are those who gain their wealth off of conflict, right? So how much money did Trump make or his campaign make by using the term that Haitians are eating cats and eating dogs? How much did the campaign finance go up? You follow me? Every time he does labelization or create conflict, there's people that's donating to his PAC to help his legal fees or to help him become president. And I could say more, but I just want to come across a slander. How much of that, right? How much of that is helping his riches by dividing the country? What's your thoughts about that, Pastor Johnson and Minister Ebony Robinson?
Well, I think one of the things that we have done here today, and we've done it in two ways, and I hope we're gonna get back to it before we end today's session. We've put a log on Donald Trump's fire. Because what we have done is today is that we have said to ourselves, we're going to unplug this thing, and we're gonna let people know that number one, that it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Two, what we've done is too today is that we've really wanted to generate the base, if you will, of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And say that we're going to believe in truth rather than lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think the other thing is that what we ought to do is understand is that we can't give credence to him too much, because then we begin to take our eyes off the prize.
Mm-hmm.
of the election.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I want to say that's really poignant for me is he only spoke to his constituency. Mm-hmm. The people who are undecided looked at this thing and said, "Listen, I can't believe this because it's only one person." You know, he's going for the undecided voters, because folk who have made their mind up already.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to be shocking and hoping to drag people who are undecided to his side.
Mm-hmm.
People who are undecided are listening with an ear of how is this going to impact me, my family, my situation. And they may not give a dollar, but those who are already committed to Donald Trump will give more money and make his campaign coffers go up. But remember, there is only one person who really hasn't spoken on this and has let it go by the wayside, and that is the Harris campaign.
Mm-hmm.
because they have other people like Mike DeWine and other folk who are speaking on their behalf. We they don't have to say anything because they have the truth on their side. When you got the truth, sometimes you got to, you know, as the Bible says, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that what we need to do is to understand this, is that for those of us who are truth fighters and standing on the right of things, and I mean right, I mean the right side, not the right, but understanding that the campaign coffers are going up on his side, but we still have truth on our side.
So listen, I just caught this in the research that we did. You mentioned Kamala Harris. Listen to what J.D. Vance had to say. It's not funny, but how they're trying to tie the savages, excuse me, because they're not savages, the savage imagery of Haitian immigrants, which is preposterous. And I probably have to take a couple more blood pressure pills after the show, because I even get even more heated up looking at just talking about the stereotype that's lodged against Haitians. But J.D. Vance says the following: Kamala Harris dropped 20,000 Haitian migrants into a small Ohio town and chaos was ensued. So the savages who eat cats and who eat dogs and the savage imagery, we're not going to go on a 30-second station break. We're just going to keep rolling until 1:55. The savages that are in Springfield, Ohio, is a result of Kamala Harris. Why? Because she's a woman of color, right? Because she's a savage herself. And savages bring savages. And I'm not saying Kamala Harris is a savage. That's just this mindset against people of color that dates back to when people of African descent came to America and they tagged them as savages and beasts and have no souls, right? That's the racist imagery that's playing out in this false claim against race, against Haitian immigrants. It's crazy. It's crazy. Let's make a shift here, right? Because we finish at 1:55. This conversation must continue to go on, but we can't continue to go on all day today. Where do we go from here? How do we be the prophetic voices of Haitian immigrants in America, especially in Springfield, Ohio? But it's not going to be, the attacks is not going to be limited to Springfield, Ohio. It's going to metastasize throughout the country. How do we become the prophetic voices and the prophetic protectors of those who are being unjustly targeted? Minister Ebony Robinson and then Pastor Johnson.
I would say we have to be our brother's keeper.
Mm.
We have to be our brother's keeper, but most important, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See, prayer changes people and prayer changes situations.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to open our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We can't sit down. We can't be quiet. We can't have other people speak for us. We have to open our mouth. Mm-hmm. And I think when we lock arms together and fight together, we get greater results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, Pastor Johnson.
I think that Minister Ebony is right on point. The single greatest thing that came out of the civil rights movement in the 60s was the fact when people of all faiths, all colors, all ethnicities, all different backgrounds, came together for a change.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we as the faith community called Christians need to stand with those who are the least of them, mm-hmm. the least, the last, and the lost. That's who we're called to stand with. Mm-hmm. So we need to stand with our Haitian brothers and sisters and our Asian brothers and sisters. And that may mean that we may have to cross the street or cross the town or go and talk to somebody else who doesn't look like us or don't speak English that well, who may and make those connections, not for a political gain, but for a humanitarian gain.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we get to know somebody a little bit better and find out that even though they come from a different place than us, that what's that the same blood that bleeds red in us bleeds red in them. And that mm-hmm. the same things that they're going through are the same things that we had gone through and as we're still going through. And if we as the faith community can find that there's more that binds us together than pulls us apart than this racist rhetoric, then what we have done is we've become the hands and the feet and the voice and the eyes and the ears of Christ. Love always beats hate every day of the week. And in the words of my fraternity brother who said, I've chose love. Because hate is too much of a burden to bear. by my fraternity brother, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I don't know why you're talking about fraternity, because you're jealous because I got my shirt on today. For those who don't know, Robert, Pastor Robert Johnson is not jealous. We go at it like this since, what, 2006. So I want to piggyback as we, you know, we got about 5 minutes left off of what the both of you said. And it's really not piggyback, it's just adding to, because what both of you said is tied together. One of the most powerful things that could take place right now is a nonviolent march of love, ecumenical, with our Haitian brothers and sisters in Springfield, Ohio. If we could convert
across the country,
starting in Springfield, Ohio, where love trumps hate. You follow me? Where we gather together among our Haitian brothers and sisters, especially in Springfield, that's being unjustly targeted, unjustly threatened, whose life is on the line. They went to Springfield, Ohio for opportunities, not to be labeled as savages, living their lives, right? Doing what's right, to have someone target them over a lie. One of the best positive things that we could do in the midst of this hateful environment against Haitian immigrants is to come together and stand with them. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and I want to emphasize Reverend Doctor, because everybody always want to start off with Martin and forget about the Reverend Doctor, your fraternity brother, Pastor Johnson. If Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was here alive, you know, I do believe that in the prime of his life, prime of age and everything, I do believe that there would be the civil rights movement going to Springfield, Ohio, standing with our Haitian brothers and sisters to let them know we're not going to let you be in this by yourself. What's y'all thoughts about that? Minister Ebony, Pastor Johnson.
Maybe he definitely would have been there by now. No invitation. He would have been there. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pastor Johnson said, you know, throughout the country, even in your backyard, in your city, mm-hmm. you have to show love to get love, to gain love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that Minister Ebony said something that's really important to us as pastors and in the religious community. If we can't be there, whatever happened to good old-fashioned prayer vigils? Mm-hmm. Whatever happens to just coming together as a community of faith and just praying for our country, praying for our world, praying for this election? Whatever happened to us coming together for corporate prayer?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, listen, if I can get a Republican kneeling next to a Democrat and they're praying, I got news for you. Mm-hmm. That's listen, we worship with them every Sunday. Amen. We work mm-hmm. with them on our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I got news for you. Your ideology or your religious or your political standing mm-hmm. doesn't stop me from loving you as a brother and sister in Christ.
Yeah. That's just like.
See that smile. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, that's just like getting an alpha that's on this radio show to pray with a sigma that's on this radio show. Or to get a Minnesota Vikings fan that's on this radio show to pray with an Eagles fan that's on this radio show, or to get an iPhone person to pray with an Android person, that's a monumental task.
It's not a monumental. I pray for you every day, brother.
Exactly.
I would say something, but I'm on the air, so I just won't say it. I just won't say it. But no, I like to have, when we got 2 minutes, we have 2 minutes. I would charge all of us, starting with the host, even Bishop Aiken, he couldn't make it. Let's start here. Mm. Prayer vigils. Mm-hmm. We can, just like the Bible says, it only takes a fire to convert into a flame. Mm. Let us be the positive flame converters.
Yes.
Because if Trump can take his voice and invoke an inferno of hate, let us use our voice to invoke an inferno of spiritual love.
Yes.
Yeah. So We're getting ready to unplug now. Great conversation. Great conversation. Thank you for joining us on Conversation Unplugged. Welcome, Minister Ebony Robinson. Welcome, Minister Ebony Robinson. Yeah. So if God put breath in our body, we will come back next Thursday and unplug at 1 o'clock. More conversations to unplug, more to talk about. Be the flame that spreads positive love and not be the flame that burn people with hate. Take care and God bless. May heaven continue to smile upon you. Thank you for joining Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection and the one and one eagles. Let's go. Let's go. We'll go. We'll leave on that, dude. All right. Take care and God bless. Take care.
We need restitution. First, we need to talk about how to begin. We're all in this.